Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you guys. I just got a call from someone saying that they couldn't hear. If you guys could hear me, call and your number is 43048. If you could hear me, just press the one button on your phone. Thank you. It must be an isolated situation because I know no one else had said anything, but I thank you, caller, for giving me that heads up, but evidently everybody else can hear. To get back to what I was saying, we have to be careful to take things in our own hands. The Bible told us that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And God has promised that all things will be added unto us. But you got to believe it to achieve it. So I'm going to play a song. And after that, we'll go to the throne of grace. And then we'll explore, found on the word of God.
And I feel blessings in the air. Those deeds that you've sown, it's time to come into your own. See, walk into your seed.
I know that you invested a lot. The return has been slow. You throw up your hands and say, I give up. I just can't take it anymore. But I hear the Spirit say that it's your time. The wedding is over.
Everybody help me. full house there.
Walk into your seat.
Yeah,
walk into your seat.
It's your time. It's your time.
Walk into your seat.
It's your time. It's your time.
Walk into your seat.
It's the seat of Abraham.
Walk into your seat.
We can go on in and possess the land. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. Go on and walk.
Walk into your seat.
Put a smile on your face.
Walk into your seat.
And let the Holy Spirit erase.
Walk into your seat.
Every frown.
Walk
yes, sir.
Into your seat.
Go on and walk.
Walk on, walk on.
Walk into your
everybody
seat.
There.
Walk off to everybody.
Yes, the word of God teaches us that there are seasons that happen in our lives. And God has a season, a time, a purpose, and a reason for everything that he's going to do. Many times God has told us certain things and we maybe thought that God was taking too long and we took matters in our own hand, and we saw what happened. Our tonight lesson is about taking things in your own hand, not waiting on God, leaning to your own understanding. So with the background tonight, I'm going to do a little bit about Abraham. Everybody knows something about Abraham. And Abraham was a man that God had established with prophets. With providence and with covenants and promises. And the songwriter said in the song he sung tonight, he said, we are the seeds of Abraham. I can remember when I was a little girl and going to Sunday school or Bible, vocational Bible school, we used to sing a song, Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. The song said, I am one and so are you. So let's march into what God has for us. You see, Abraham was who God chose. Many times when I see the patriarchs in the Old Testament as well as the New, you know, you wonder why God chose them. Because you see, before God chose Abraham and we knew anything about it, it didn't seem to be anything special. You see, but we could only see what we see, but God know what he has put in each and every one of us. You see, Abraham and his father and his family was worshiping idol gods. They wasn't worshiping the only true and living God. So we see Abraham didn't go looking for God, but God came looking for Abraham. And that's the same way God is with each and every one of us. God has a reason and a season. Of scripture in Jeremiah 29 and 11 say, for I know the thoughts that I have you towards you. Thoughts not of evil, but of good to give you an expected end. God had an intended purpose for our lives before he allowed us to be in our father's loins, before we was in our mother's womb. And God had decided, and each and every one of us would play a part, and he knew who would accept his son and become a part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah, because he's all-knowing, omniscient. Not that he made one to take Christ and the other one not to take Christ. That's not predestination. But God knew who would accept his son, and he, by him knowing that information ahead of time, and he knew your heart because he created your heart. Let's get it right tonight. God knows your heart. He knew, he knows who he could ask to do this. He could ask to do that. God knew enough about Abraham that he chose him before Abraham knew him. The Bible says, while we were yet in our sin, God came and took us in. You see, Abraham, God told him to get out of the country because there was too much idolatry there. Abraham then actually left. Y'all know how the story goes. God kept promising Abraham that he was going to give him children that could not be numbered as the sand in the sea. But Abraham kept following God and doing what God said. Hallelujah, y'all. And it seemed like it just wasn't going to happen. Abraham was getting older and older. You see, Abraham and Sarah were still childless, and now they're in old age, that it would be impossible to have children, especially Sarah. And when they say that impossible, she probably had went through menopause and all of that good stuff that God established. So now she's figuring all bets are off. You see, with man, it may be possible, but with God, all things are possible. God had appeared to Abraham and promised him that he would have a son and that he would be the father of many nations. That was in Genesis 15. However, as time went on, Abraham had no children. His wife, Sarah, had been unable to conceive, and they began to question, how long? You know, we often sit down and ask God the same question. Lord, how long will a pandemic last? How long will the Republicans be in there and be able to be stupid about everything? How long, dear God, will my child do these things, dear God, and don't get understanding and come in and receive the blessings of God? How long will my finances still be next to rock bottom? So Abraham and Sarah begin to ask the question, how long? God made the promises in Sarah some time ago. But you see, our timing is not God's timing. So what they do, that was the 15th chapter. By the 16th chapter, Sarah suggested that Abraham would have a child with a slave, Hagar, an Egyptian. Apparently, this was somewhat common practice at that time. Perhaps it was an ancient version of surrogacy. Come on, y'all. It happened many times back then. And you see, if a man had a lot and he was well off, or even if he wasn't well off, if they died with no son to become the heir, that man had to almost do a succession to say who would take over. Now, many times they would put a man to take over, and the man may have been kind to his wife and not as kind to his wife, and the wife wouldn't have no say-so. So I just want you to keep that in mind to see if Sarah was plotting with more reasons than one. So Sarah told him to make a child with Hagar, an Egyptian. While this may seem like a workable solution for Abraham and Sarah, in actuality, it caused more problems than it solved. You see what happens when you take things in your own hands. Hagar did conceive a child with Abraham. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise Sarah. And Sarah appealed to Abraham for help. Now, y'all know how that goes. Abraham was a big man. And now this Egyptian slave get to be with him. Not only be with him, but conceive a child with him. Come on now, y'all. She might be feeling mighty fine about herself right now. So she look at Sarah funny. You know, she might have even felt in her heart, I'm the one. I'm young, beautiful. But Sarah was beautiful too, y'all know. Y'all know, got to know. They say Sarah was eye candy. And Sarah went to Abraham for help because she couldn't take it. But Abraham told Sarah, do as she saw fit. So she began to mistreat Hagar. Hagar ran away. But while Hagar was gone, the angel of the Lord found Hagar in the desert and told her to return. You see, God didn't orchestrate for Abraham and Sarah to come up with this plan with Hagar. But you see, many things God allows for teaching, for testing, for his glory. Come on now. She hadn't already conceived Abraham's child. Running at that point wasn't going to make it not so. He told her about her unborn son. I'm talking about Hagar. You are now pregnant and you will give birth. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. You see, the name Ishmael means God hears. God said, let me tell you about the son that you're going to bear. He will be a wild donkey of a man, and his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. Hagar got up and went back and bore a son. Now Abraham is 86 years old. And we have to say that Ishmael was Abraham's firstborn son. Remember what I just said. Then when we go to the 17th chapter of Genesis, now Abraham is 99 years old, which would make Ishmael 13. And God appeared to him once again to reiterate the promise that he would be the father of many. God told Abraham that Sarah, who was now 90, would have a son. Abraham had a hard time believing this and asked God, watch this, y'all. He asked God, like I wasn't sure it was going to happen. And really and truly, it still haven't happened. So God, let's see if you'll accept what I'm fixing to ask you. He ready to take things in his own hand again. You see, what he did, he asked God, hallelujah. He said, could you please fulfill the promise through Ishmael? Abraham not loving on Ishmael. Ishmael 13 and Abraham and had a son for 13 years. But God stopped him and told him, the promise is going to be brought through a son that Sarah would bear. You see, when God has something he want to do for us, and he give us the way he want it done, we can't improvise, change around, subtract, add to, modify, change it or rearrange it. Because what God said, that's what it is. God told Abraham, no. He said, we're going to have a boy, and we're going to call him Isaac. And I'm going to establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And don't y'all know we are told that we are the seeds of Abraham? So the covenant and the blessings that God granted on Abraham, that they come down and flourish on us, you know that you are the seed of Abraham. Do you know the promises that God made to Abraham was for you also? You know, we have so many promises and so many blessings that God has given us, and we sometimes don't really pay close attention or have understanding, knowledge, truth, and deal and wisdom with it, and we just don't know. So tonight I want to let you know that you are a seed of Abraham. And all of the promises that God gave unto Abraham belongs to you and me as well. So God told him, he said, look, I know you're loving on Ishmael. See, God is a good God, y'all. He, you know, God is compassionate, loving and kind, full of mercy and grace. God told him, I know you're loving on Ishmael. He said, because I done heard you. But I'm going to bless him. He's going to be fruitful as well. And he's going to increase in numbers. I'm not going to turn him away like the black sheep of the family. Ishmael didn't allow or make himself to be born the wrong, through the wrong, you know, way of deception or things like that. He said, I ain't punishing him. And besides that, I'm going to make him a great nation. And just like Isaac, he's going to have 12 tribes. Come on, y'all. And my covenant, I will establish with Isaac. That's just the way I planned it. See, we can't stop and block God's plan. God's will is going to be done. No matter how you step on it, no matter how you cross it, no matter how you subtract from it, no matter. In the end, God's will is going to be done. So let God have his way. Get out of the way and let God have his way. And you see, when they took it in their own hands and Ishmael, now I'm going to just tell you this little brief thing of history. You see, Ishmael, as I said earlier, really was Abraham's firstborn heir. He was a boy. And he was the firstborn. So it should have put him in position. But he was the firstborn. You can't erase that. You can't put him back in the womb and then pull out Isaac and say he was not. But God's will and God's covenant and God's promise that God stipulated that he would do was between Abraham and Sarah with Isaac. Now, you could imagine the animosity that Ishmael had by being a firstborn. And he had to watch everything that he believed belonged to him be given to it, to Isaac. So even today in the Middle East, the wars that's going on, come on, y'all, is started way back him, way back then. And it's still going on today. You see, when you take things in your own hands, the consequences that you put in motion can last for a very, 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 very long time. Ishmael's ancestors probably believed they was cheated like the Indians. Come on, y'all. And it kept animosity and division. But God told him he knew the consequences of the sin and the actions that was going to be promoted from what they did by taking it in their own hands, that it was going to cause deceit and division. And they was going to always, they say it, what the word of God say? He said he's going to always be against his brother and he's going to be against many people. And they was the Arabs. Come on, y'all. Just a little history. But now we're going to go into the word of God. Now, I gave you that little background. So Sarah has her baby. Okay? Hagar and Ishmael are gone. Well, they're not gone yet, but they're gonna be gone in less than tonight. So let's just go with it. So Sarah had the baby, and verse 8 said the child grew and was weaned. Y'all know what that means when they stop, you know, needing to drink the milk from the breast because they had to be weaned because they ain't have no bottles. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heirs with my son, even with Isaac. Now you see, she was willing to have the maid have a son for Abraham that would entitle for him to receive the inheritance. Now you see the slave woman, the Egyptian, belonged to Sarah. So the child that she had, which was Ishmael, also belonged to Sarah. So if Ishmael would receive the promise, Sarah would be in better position than Abraham giving it to his right-hand man. But now she got one. And you know how people are used what they got at the moment until they get something that they think is better, and they push what they had before away. And that's what's happening. Verse 11. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. Abraham not feeling that. Send him away where? I got one boy. I love Isaac. I love Ishmael too. Abraham had him at that time at least over 13 years. You got to understand a few facts to understand, you know, what's really going on and how it's really, really, you know, going about. Hallelujah. You see in verse 12, and God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He said, she's trying to put him away, and I know you love him, but let it be. He said, the woman told you, let him go, let him go. And I got him. Don't worry, I got him. I know you love him, and it's your seed, and the love I have for you, I'm going to take care of yours. Come on, y'all. That's how many of our children and maybe other relatives and people are blessed because somebody prayed for them. And sometimes the relationship that you have for God, God extends his protection and provisions to your children. And that's what God is doing here with Isaac. And verse 13, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation. Look what he told him. He said, because he is thy seed. And then when we go to verse 14, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, put it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Bathsheba. That's got to be a miserable sight, y'all. Sarah glad, Abraham mad, Isaac confused, and not Isaac, Ishmael confused, I'm sure. And Isaac don't even know what's going on. You see, here we see what happens when you take matters into your own hands. Sarah's son Isaac is born. She sees Ishmael mocking her son. And he could have just been playing with him. I'm not saying he was. She said mocking. You know how children kid around and stuff like that. And she no longer wanted Ishmael around her son. And here you got to really pay attention. You got to remember she was the one that came up with this idea in the first place. But Abraham didn't have to agree. So you can't blame it all on Sarah for being a culprit, because Abraham had to get buy-in. Now, you know Abraham, 86 years old, and I'm sure the bond woman slave was probably young and probably a virgin and being given to Abraham. I don't know if lust played a heavy part in it, but Abraham didn't refuse. You got to know the story, y'all. So now, Sarah want him gone. God told Abraham, let it go. God said, do what your wife say. He said, but be not dismayed, Abraham. I will work all things out for your good. Ha ha! He said, man, I got this. You see, once again, Abraham's love for his son Ishmael comes true, and God promised to bless Ishmael. Abraham sent Hagar and Ishmael away. And there's plenty of blame to go around. If you tend to root for the underdog, who in this case is Hagar and Ishmael, your heart goes out to them. And Abraham had very reasons to be upset with his wife. But she obviously became hard on Hagar, the slave woman. And every time Sarah called her name, she called her that slave woman. Sarah started the ball rolling. Now she's bitter. But she was even more bitter when she was barren. Because back then, if a woman couldn't have a child, it was like shame. So she was trying to make it good. Took things in her own hand. And now it's a holy mess. It's a hot mess. And it's causing more problems than they thought it would solve. You see, God is faithful and love his children. Even though Abraham and Sarah took things in their own hand, Isaac was Abraham's son who he loved. And God promised to make him a great nation. And he would also be a ruler of 12 tribes. Watch this now. Nothing that Abraham and Sarah did or did not do, once God said, that's what's going to be done. It will be fulfilled. And that's the sovereignty of God. God's way or the highway. You got to wait on God. You got to wait on him. In verse 15, and the water was spent in a bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it was a bow shot. Like if you take a bow and arrow and shoot it, she stood straight, you know, so she could see him. For she said, let me not see the dead of my child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. She out there in the wilderness. The water's gone out the jug. If they had bread, I guess it's gone. She don't know what else to do. She began to cry. In verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. He was crying too, evidently. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what's ailing thee, Hagar? He said, fear not, for God has heard the cry of the lad where he is. Look what he told her. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And immediately, in verse 19, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. You know, we often read in the Bible and we love to say God always have a ram in a bush talking about Isaac when God had asked him to sacrifice him. And they had to have a sacrifice. And Abraham asked who will provide. He told the boy that God will provide his sacrifice. And he turned and there was a ram in the thickens in a bush. Well, this is like a ram in a bush as well. Or we could say water in the stream. You see, God didn't create a new body of water there for Hagar. But sometimes we are so distraught. We are so depressed. We are so hurt maybe about a situation. We can't see straight. God didn't make a stream. He said he only opened her eyes. And she saw the well of water. And he had drink. And 20, and the Lord was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt, this 21, in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. You know, we have so many instances in the Bible when people take things in their own hands. You know, God told Adam and Eve what not to do in the Garden of Eden. He explained his will, his covenant with them as well. But you see, Eve took things in her own hands, and she gave some to Adam. And just like Abraham didn't have to go with Hagar, Adam did not have to eat the fruit, but he did. And look, consequences of those sins, that sin, is still with us today, and it's going to be here until a new Jerusalem comes. We have to be careful of the things that we do. Like I always say, when Christ died, he said, I'm going to take away all your sins, but the consequences belong to you. And here we see, dear God, that they did everything they wanted to do. But you know, when we do what we do, we don't get to pick the consequences. Sarah decided to take it in her hand and let Abraham have a son with Hagar, Ishmael, that has caused division in the nations time on. And Eve and Adam has caused sin to be in the world from that time on. And all I can say is thank you, Jesus. Just like God told, hey, God, not to worry, I got that. He's telling us not to worry with Adam and Eve. He said, because I got that. He said, what kind of God I would be to allow everyone to die and go to hell because of one man's sin. I'm going to make a provision, and it's called Jesus, where everybody could have a chance to the tree of life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, after the provisions were exhausted, Hagar and Ishmael was overcome with grief, assuming that they would die in the desert. This lets us know wherever God guides, he also provides. He told her to go ahead, and it would be all right. He allowed Sarah to want her to be gone and told Abraham to grieve and let her go. Wherever God guides, he provides. When everything seemed like was gone, when all of the provision that she had in her hand was gone, God made new ones. Hallelujah. God knew of new ones. Because, again, I tell you, he didn't make a stream of water. Don't, you know, that wasn't a miracle there. He opened her eyes that she could see. This lets us know God knew that Hagar didn't have complete control in the matter, even though she may have felt privileged to have a child for a man in charge and gain some type of prestige, was now dying. And Ishmael, along with her only child, God heard their cries by the angel. God heard their cries and had the angel call Hagar out of heaven. What's the matter? Hey, God, do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lie over there. God opened her eyes. She saw the well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water. She gave her boy a drink. That was her ram in the bush. Come on, y'all. How many rams God has in the bush for you? I know he has so many for me, I can't even count them. I don't know about you. God is constantly making a way out of no way. Hallelujah, y'all. God is constantly, when we can't see, opening our eyes to see a brighter day. to see new grace and new mercy and new provision. Come on, y'all. Giving us better help. But it's all about his timing, and we have to wait on it. And we have to patiently wait. Because God is a perfect God. He makes no mistakes, and he know what he is doing. So that's why we just got to trust. You see, finally, we are told that God was with the boy as he grew up. See, God didn't just give him the drink at that well. He didn't send him on their way and not, you know, have a watchful eye open. Here we see what happens when you take things in your own hand, though. You see, even when it seemed that God had promised, what God had promised for Abraham and Sarah would not come to pass, we got to do what the word of God tells us to do, to hold on to the confession of our faith. And we could see the salvation of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And please don't lean out to your understanding. And then definitely don't get the big head and begin to do right what to do, begin to do what seemed right in your own eyes. Don't think you're big and bad enough to do it, which would bring in pride, and pride, there's always destruction. You can trust God because nothing can take him by surprise. And he makes no mistakes. He is our present help. See, when God opened her eyes, that was her present help. See, when the word God of God tell us he's our present help, that means right now, right here, right now, right here, tomorrow, right there, next year, right there, right there. He's our present help because he promised never to leave us and not to forsake us. But you got to believe it to achieve it. God is our refuge in time of trouble. He's our bridge over troubled water. He's our strength and our weakness. He is our all in all. Everything that God promised Abraham is also for you. We are called the children of Abraham. Hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah. They say we are the seeds of Abraham, and we have to wait on God to wait to walk in our seasons. That's the record that was played on tonight said. I come to tell you tonight, just like God loved Abraham, that's just how much God loves you. And just like Abraham made mistakes in God's will for Abraham, life still came through because God does not allow your past to dictate your future. God is doing the same thing for you. And just like God loved Ishmael because he was a seed of Abraham, that's how God loved the seed out of your womb. But he's going to have his way. But we have to wait on him. We have to wait until our change comes. And again, I ask you tonight, please don't begin to take matters in your own hands. Because tonight we saw what happened. And that's the lesson for tonight. Anyone have anything they would like to say, any comments or questions they want to add to it? Somebody know something else about Abraham they want to share, Isaac or Jacob? Or they know something about Ishmael? Ishmael lived in Arabia, was with the Arabians. So I wanted you to know that many people believe that he's the founder of the Muslims. But the Muslim was founded by Muhammad, and it was much years later, but the Quran have him in that position as a prophet for that as well. So caller, your number is 504-458-98. Your mic is open.
Hi, I just wanted to say when you was talking about with Abraham wanting to let Ishmael be the promise, like just make it like that, I just started thinking about how when we try so hard to have our way, for instance, that God's plan, I'm just going to use a marriage for instance, God's plan for his kingdom marriage for this husband and wife, you may go and marry somebody else who God never ordained for you to marry. And so while you're in that marriage and having so many ups and downs, you're like, Lord, you know, just make this work. Like, let this be the marriage that you wanted it to be. But he never caused for that couple to be joined together. And I'm speaking of myself because I've been married twice. But I can just imagine, because I used to do that, try to let this marriage be the marriage, the kingdom marriage that you designed for me to have. And so God said, I never told you to go and marry that person. Like, you want to marry that person, you know, so we step into our own free will and do things. But what I love about God is that he give us the free will, but he will not come in and stop it. Like, he will not just say, okay, you know what, just like Sarah and came up with the plan, he didn't say, wait, this is not about to happen. He just went on and let them do it. That was their free will. And at the same old time, his promise still is going to come to pass, because what he said from the beginning, he already promised that, and it's going to come to pass. And I just really was thinking about that. So I really enjoyed it, and thank you so much.
Thank you, my sister. And when we say that, you know, when we stay in bold and say whatever God, nothing in this world happened unless God orchestrate or allow it. And there's so many things he allow it, but in his allowing it, he's still working it out together, you know, because sometimes it could be a test, sometimes it could be, you know, and even in the Bible, you know, God uses everything he created for his glory. So he let him go around the mulberry bush to show him maybe how taking things in your own hand could cause a lot of trouble and, you know, and things like that. But thank you, my sister. And that marriage thing was a great example of taking things in your own hand, because I, too, like you, was married twice. And, you know, and I had begun by the end of the second marriage, I was trying to do the will of God more than I had been trying to do it before. And, you know, they say they would tell you what God put together, let no man put asunder. And I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, lie loud and clear, we didn't put this together. They say, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. The Holy Ghost said, we didn't put that together. You put that together. That was a little lust, I guess, at the time. Come on, y'all. What God has put together, let no man take asunder. And sometime in a relationship, God didn't put it together, and it works out fine. God said, just don't leave, because one is saved, maybe one not saved, maybe saved one can bring in the saved, the unsaved one. But he's saying if you could do it right in the first place, you could save yourself a lot of trouble. So that was a great analogy that you used, my sister Elizabeth. Thank you so much for your comments. Anyone else? We got a little time, y'all. I did this on purpose to give us time to fellowship, in a word, for us to, you know, talk to one another. I left this time on purpose. And caller, your sister Joyce Brown, your one button was pushed because you helped me out with a question I had. So I don't want you to want to have something to say and I can't see another prompt. So if you would like to say something, you can at this time. If not, I'll close your mic. Thank you for helping me earlier. Caller, your number is 225-302. Your mic is open.
Hi, this is Jada. Hello. I think it's important that we realize, like, a lot of times when we do have these successes or we have these triumphs in life, we sometimes, not, I won't say we, I sometimes develop an attitude of I did this or I did that, knowing that God's perfect will is just out of his perfect will and his perfect way and his perfect path that has manifested in my life. And so I think it's important, as Hagar received the message, to also see that it's coming from God, or that triumph or that victory is coming from him, and to acknowledge him in all things, even when you're going through the challenges, to know that still, even in the challenges on the other side, is his way of perfection and his way of ensuring that we are always on our knees and we're always praising him and always seeing him for what he is in our life. That's all.
Thank you so much, Jada Porter. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Anyone else? Remember, I left this time on purpose. God has given us a forum where we can talk. We can ask questions. We can give an opinion. We can just give a praise report, give a hallelujah. God has given us this, and he gave it to us for a reason and for a season. Is there anything else anyone would like to say at this time? Well, if not, I want you to go away tonight and realize that you, if you accept Christ, you have received the blessings of Abraham in your life. You have an inheritance. You know, there's so many blessings that we don't realize that's in the word of God for us, and I just want you to know you're the seeds of Abraham. That's why they call him Father Abraham. He's our father. Not our heavenly father, but he's our forefather. And we have to remember the thing that Jada said brought to my mind, that when anything happened in your life, you have to really stand tall and remember that it's all by God's grace. All things through Christ Jesus, that you achieved, that you superseded, that you're still standing, that you come out of trial, that you've been in a storm, that you've been in a broken marriage, and now you're standing. It's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And we have to begin to put our sights on what Jesus has already done. Then the trivialness that's going on in our lives day by day. When Jesus hung his head to the side and said, it's finished, everything is here. Everything is here. God has provided all of the provision. It's up to us to get in our position to receive, for us to go to him in prayer and ask. It's up to us to submit and commit to God. God has done his part. And for us to receive some things, not all things, because many things we receive is unconditional. And when God made that promise to Abraham, it was an unconditional promise. And it's going to come to pass no matter what. No matter how many women Sarah could have gave Abraham, it wasn't going to change God's mind with what he wanted to accomplish. And that's with us. When we go astray or have it our way. It doesn't change what God wants. You might have to go through some bumpy roads, and, you know, what you could have got maybe 5 years sooner, you got to wait 10 years to get it. But God is not an ending giver. And if he said it, it's going to come to pass. Whatever, however you place yourself in position determines how you get it, when you get it. Come on now. It's predicated. That part is predicated on you, not that it's there for you. That's all by God's grace. And that's our lesson for tonight. And at this time, if someone would like to do a benediction, you could press the one button on your phone. If someone want to lead us out with a prayer or song, you can press the one button on your phone. This is our Bible study. And I always like to say that because that's how I feel. That's how God gave it to us. Well, I'm going to use 2 Peter 3:18. And as we leave tonight, Peter asks us that we continue to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now and forevermore. So go in peace. Trust God and have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And if it's God's will in your way, if it's God's will in his way and your desire, we'll meet back next week at the same time. But until then, everybody go in peace and be blessed. And it is my prayer that God truly bless each and every one of us real good. Until next week, good night.